The next few, but I'm going to try to not re-preach what we have already, and at the same time help bring some up to date to what we're dealing with. But Romans chapter number 8, one of the greatest chapters in the whole Word of God, one of my favorite, if not my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. But you've been seated a while. Let's stand to our feet and we'll reverence God's Word as we read it and give you a chance to stretch a moment. As I mentioned before, you'll be seated for the next 4 hours, so take this time and enjoy standing and stretching your legs. I'm kidding. Don't have a heart attack. That was a joke. It really ain't but about 3 hours and 20 minutes is all. That's all. Well, if you're in Romans chapter number 8, say amen. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I would love to take time, and as we did Wednesday night, and read the entirety of Romans chapter 8. And I've encouraged you to try to read Romans chapter 8 at least one time a day. And I want to extend that invitation to you to try to read this chapter. I promise you, God will continue showing you new truths and new nuggets of truth that will bless and help you. And it don't take long to read this chapter, but try to read it one time a day for the next several days. And hopefully we will get through this. But the longer and more I study and look at it, the bigger it gets. And that's just how God's Word is. But I'm preaching with the help of God this evening on the subject, "Thank God I'm Free." Thank God I'm free. And boy, it's wonderful to be free. Amen. We, by the decorations you see in the auditorium, in the sanctuary, the American flags and all the red, white, and blue. We just celebrated Independence Day. We just celebrated the birth of a nation, the freest nation ever known to man. What I believe to be the greatest nation ever known to man. And the reason being is because it's based in freedom. We have the freedom and the liberty to come and gather together. In the very First Amendment, we have that right to come and to gather together and to worship the God of our choice. Amen. Freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom. And so thank God for freedom in our country. Ain't you glad? I mean, listen, if I wasn't even in church tonight, I would raise my hand and say, thank God I was born in America. I mean, just pause a moment and think. God could have let you be born anywhere. You could be speaking Mandarin Chinese this afternoon, this evening. You could be speaking Russian. You could be had been born somewhere in the bush of Australia or Uganda, but the God of heaven thought enough of you and loved you enough and sovereignly knew where to place and put you and let you be born in the United States of America. That, my friend, is a blessing. Amen. Over 7 billion, pushing almost 8 billion people on planet Earth. And out of those billions and billions of people, God allowed us to be born in America, the free land of America. And that's wonderful, wouldn't you agree? You don't even have to be a Christian to be happy about that. You don't even have to, it stretches my coin. I started to say you don't even have to be a Republican to be happy about that, but I don't know these days. I didn't come to preach about politics. I didn't come to preach about even America. I come to preach and to deal with the subject of freedom and how I thank God that I'm free, much more free than what a country can give me and can provide for me, but the freedom that only God through His Son, the Lord Jesus, has given us. And so I want to look and pick up where we stopped this morning, and I'll just recap just a few statements. I began dealing with, we're here and just read a few verses in Romans chapter number 8, and I said this morning how that the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of God, he took seven chapters, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and through the penmanship of Paul, Paul meticulously wrote down the grievances against mankind that God had. And seven chapters, he covers the whole gambit. And I went in detail per chapter this morning about how God named out and named the sins and named the problems and the transgressions that mankind had went against God. But Paul, through the inspiration of God, begins in chapter 1 all the way through chapter 7, laying out these grievances, sin after sin, condemnation after condemnation, and lets everybody that reads these chapters know that mankind is hopeless and helpless without God. We are in our sin, and we are on our way to a devil's hell, and deservingly so, and we will be judged and judged justly by the sovereign God of heaven. Paul lays out methodically in seven chapters what God has against man. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, we all know this verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In three short chapters, 1, 2, and 3, Paul succinctly condemns the heathen, the hypocrite, the Hebrew, and finally all of humanity. He said, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Paul, with the skill and mastery of a lawyer, indicts and lays out grievance after grievance, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, of God's condemnation of humanity. Chapter 7, Paul really hones in and talks about the law over and over and over again. I mean, if you read chapter 7, you will see the word law mentioned time after time. It's hard to even read a sentence or a verse without seeing the word law. Listen as we read some in Romans 7, starting in verse 9. "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." It's Paul speaking. "And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what? For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me," this is Paul speaking, "for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would not I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now I took time to read that on purpose because every one of us, there ain't a person in this room that's saved that does not and cannot identify with what the Apostle Paul was saying. If you have been saved any length of time at all, hey, listen, you want to live right. The Holy Ghost of God indwells you. When you got saved, He took residence in you. And He wants to live right. He wants to empower you to live right. That's that new nature. That's that new, when He made you a new creature, that new man wants to rise up and live for God. But then there's that old man. There's the flesh that when you wake up in the morning, that battle begins and that war begins, that tug of war. It's one wants to do bad, and that you want to do good, Paul said, that I want to do right, I end up doing wrong, and that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Can you identify? If you've been saved and you ain't a liar, you can. What Paul is saying is, and Paul was a lawyer. Paul was a master of the law. He was a Pharisee. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he had memorized the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, verbatim, could quote it. I have a hard time naming them in order. He prayed and fasted three times a day. Paul knew, when I say he's a lawyer, he wasn't the kind that chases ambulances. Don't get the wrong idea. He was a lawyer, meaning he was a student and a teacher of the law. The law of the Word of God. And Paul is saying, this law is causing me such consternation. This law is warring against me. And now that I'm saved, I'm battling against the law. And the problem ain't the law. The law is holy. The law is pure. The law is right. The law is from God. But there's still a problem. There's still such a shortcoming. I'm still having a problem with this law and fulfilling it, because this is the truth. And stay with me. I'm about to put it in second gear and we'll move fastly. You can, listen, no man from Adam to current date has ever been able to fulfill the law. No man save one. And that's the man. The man Christ, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's the man that we're going to look at tonight. And that's the man that Paul met on that Damascus road, who brought such peace and who brought such freedom to this man, the Apostle Paul. We're still in chapter 7. I'm showing you in chapter 7, Paul come to the conclusion after dealing with the Hebrew and condemning the heathen and the Hebrew and all of humanity, he deals with himself. He says this about himself in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? 7 chapters, Paul lays out the case. 7 chapters, Paul has shown them that they are no good, rotten, low down, and puts his own self in that bunch and says about himself that I'm the chief of sinners. But then, thank God, I hope you hadn't hit the mute button yet, because business is about to pick up. I've been dealing and pointing sin out. I've been taking 7 chapters and saying how rotten and low down and dirty and vile and wretched mankind is. And they are. How we stand defiled and in condemnation before God Almighty. And we do. But here comes chapter 8. Ain't you glad Romans has more than 7 chapters? Here we come to chapter 8, and it's like the whole script flips and the whole story changes.
God has built his case and laid out the grievances and sins and brought mankind as low as they can go, and they rightfully stand condemned before a thrice holy God. But hold on, because God ain't finished. He's about to offer a way to the wicked and make it possible for the captive to be set free. He's about to introduce Christ to those that are condemned, and grace to all those that's caused all these grievances. He's going to give this way, not just any way, not one of many ways, but the way, the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here we see God is turning the page and flipping the script and offering every sinner and any sinner to whosoever will that would come and call on the only begotten Son's name and believe by faith that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of the living God. God promised, I will set you free. Yes, you're condemned. You are already condemned. Jesus said it. I quoted it and read it Wednesday night. But Jesus said in the Gospels, I come into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But you are already under condemnation. You already abide under condemnation. You already abide under the wrath of God. You're not waiting to be condemned. If you're lost, you are already in your sin, condemned. But Jesus come to set you free. And Jesus said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. The word law is mentioned 70 times in the first 8 chapters. But Paul mentions the word law only 8 times in the remaining 8 chapters. 16 chapters in the book of Romans. 70 plus times in the first 8 chapters. But then when he gets to chapter 8 and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, only 7 times, only 8 times in the remaining 8 chapters does he even mention the law. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings, and God's about to do a new thing, and that is to set the captive free and sign a declaration of independence and allow these same sinners who were once condemned to walk in liberty and freedom. And to all those who have trusted in His only begotten Son, they will be set free. They will be liberated. Amen. Freedom rings throughout all of Romans chapter number 8. We have in Romans chapter 8, we have a new law. We have a new Lord. We have a new life, and we have new liberty. What it is in Romans chapter 8 that we learn and assures us that we've been set free and causes my heart to sing, let freedom ring and thank God I'm free, is this. Listen, you heard that song, like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like the blind man that God has gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. Listen, I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. 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 Amen. Thank God I'm free. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved, saved, saved by His marvelous grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Amen. So we will look at 3, and there's many more, but we'll look at 3. Not tonight. We'll probably try to get to half of 1. But 3 truths to how we know we're free, found in Romans chapter number 8. Number 1, there's no condemnation. So how do you know you're free? I'll tell you how. One way I know I'm free, it's shot right out of the gun. It's right out of the gate. When you turn the page and go from chapter 7, law, 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 condemned. Meet the standard of God. Live up to it. Live up to it. Then you get to chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's how I know I'm free. Let's look at this truth about there is no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to who? Not to everybody. Now don't get me wrong. I can almost guarantee you there's people in this service tonight that you are still in your sin. This morning, 7 hands were raised saying they were under the condemnation of God, still in their sin, lost. By the way, that ought to bother you. How much time did you spend today praying for 7 lost souls headed for hell? How many tears did you weep today that God allowed 7 souls to walk into the church, in the Morningstar Baptist Church, and hear the gospel preached and feel Holy Ghost conviction? Used to, people would weep and wait and stay up at night and have all night prayer meetings and beg God and not eat over one sinner, and they would plead with God, "Oh God, whatever it takes, save that sinner, save my son, save my daughter, save my mama, save my daddy." Now we'll have 7 hands raised, people saying, "I'm not saved. I'm on a highway to hell. If Jesus don't save me, I'm headed for hell." And we get up and walk out and go eat lunch like it's another normal day. God, what happened to us? Where has the burden gone? Hell is still real. Hell is still hot. And according to the Word of God, hell is still enlarging itself because it's being filled with people that we love. Good people. People we went to school with, people we work with, people we sat on church pews with, that could be set free, that needs to be set free. That's why it's so incumbent upon us as believers, as true Christians, to live the life, to show them there is a difference. This is not just religion. What Paul is saying, Paul had religion. He was a Pharisee. He had religion. I mean, he was a very religious man. He was zealous as a religious man could be. But Paul is saying, I traded in my religion for a relationship. And what this world is sick and tired. I mean, they've had it up to here. They are so sick and tired of church people, hypocrites, people who name the name of Christ and live just like they do, people who will say, "Come go to church with me," and then they'll go drinking with them that weekend, people who will say, come down to our church," and then they'll cuss with them and tell their dirty jokes just like, no difference. And could I remind you, the Bible still says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord."
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, and I know what the modern movement says. Oh, God looks on the heart. He does. He absolutely does, Brother Ned. But guess what? People don't. Because they can't.
That's right.
People, whether you like it or not, are looking at you and listening to you. And looking and listening to me. And we are the only Bible and the only Christ most men and women will ever see.
That's right.
Amen. After condemning mankind and condemning you and me, dooming us for 7 chapters, he changes the message in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, not later, now. Hey, listen. This is supposed to be a positive message. I know it's been rough to get to this point, and it is positive. But you can't appreciate positive until you understand there is a negative. Hey, you can't appreciate light until you've seen darkness. You ever heard of Charles Finney? Some of those great revivalists in yesteryear? I mean, they would come into town and they would, I mean, for a solid month to 6 weeks, they would preach nothing but the judgment of God. Night after night. Never offering hope. Just telling men how holy God is and telling men how wicked and sinful they are for weeks. Never give an altar call. And then after men and women and boys and girls would see their depravity and see how holy God truly is, then and only then could they appreciate the fact that they needed a Savior.
Amen.
And that's when thousands were saved. That's when men and women and boys and girls would run the aisles to get to an altar and cry out to God, weeping bitter, real tears, saying, "Oh God, save me." I'm not so sure this instant Christianity thing that we got going on is working too good. Like, here I am, Lord. You got about 15 minutes to bless me. And if you can't do it in that, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Take your best shot, God. I'd like to remind us all, He's God. We ain't. We're here at His house. We're here to worship Him. He created us. He died for us. He delivered us. He forgave us. He let His Son bleed and die for us. I think our minds have been warped. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, not later, not down the road, not tomorrow, not in the future, not even in eternity, but right now, right here and right now where we are, right here where we stand, right now, there is therefore right now, no condemnation. Do you know how big that is? Do you know how liberating that is? Do you know how liberating? I know me. I know how wicked I was. I know them dark, dirty nights. I know the bad, wicked deeds I did. I know what I did when nobody was looking. And by the way, while you get your imagination flowing, do you know yours? Oh, I promise you, you stinking Pharisee, you wouldn't want God to put your life up on the screen and play and let it roll. Come on now. My point is, I know me better than you do. I know how bad I was and damn. And I know how much forgiveness it took to pick me up off the bottom. I know how bad I was. I know where He found me. I know how far God had to run to get me. I know how deep He had to get in the muck and the mire to pick me up.
Yeah.
And so for now, do you know how freeing and liberating it is for me to be able to stand here and know, not think, not hope so, but to know based upon not what I think the Bible says, but I mean what the Word of God, what God, not what a preacher said, what God said. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. I've been set free. I've been set free. I've been forgiven. My sins are gone. I mean, cast as far as the east is from the west. I mean, He forgot them. He chose to never remember them again. If that ain't helping you, then bless your heart. I'll take your blessing. It's helping me double. Free. Forgiven. Free. No condemnation. The condemnation that once loomed over me, it was so heavy and dark over me. The wrath of God that was just waiting to thrust me in hell, and so deservingly so. Now,
There's no condemnation. None. I'm as clean as the driven snow. I'm as pure. Listen to me. This is not sacrilegious. This is Bible. I'm as pure right now as Jesus Christ Himself. And if you're saved, so are you. Because that's what He came to do, was to set men free and to take our filthy rags and to take all that we had done and take them upon Himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Bore our sin on the tree. Why? So that He who knew no sin and became sin and bore our sin on the tree and took our wrath and took our condemnation and took our hell, so that He could impute His righteousness into our account. And now when God looks at us, He looks through the Son, He looks through the blood, and He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That ought to excite you. I don't care if you're a Presbyterian, that ought to excite you. I don't care if you're a Methodist. I don't care if you're a Southern Baptist. I don't care if you're an Independent Baptist. I don't care if you're a Mossyback Baptist. To know that you've been forgiven ought to excite you. To know that your condemnation is gone should excite you. Way more than Clemson winning a ball game. Way more than Carolina winning a ball game. Way more than anybody or anything going on this planet. The fact that you have been forgiven, set free, and there's right now, in the eyes of God Almighty, no condemnation. I don't know about you, but boy, that's liberating. That is so liberating. That gives me strength to face tomorrow. I mean, the old accuser, the devil, this ain't in my notes, but boy, the Holy Ghost is helping me. Listen to me. The old accuser, the devil, loves to get on my trail, and he'll follow me home tonight and get in my truck and ride with me. Say, you did a pitiful job preaching, and you stumbled over every word, and look, you're going to go right back tomorrow to be in that same old wicked failure, and you're going to fail him again tomorrow. So why even try? You sorry low down. And he is the accuser of the brethren, and he's the liar. He's the father of lies. But you remind him. And God, as God has reminded me, next time he comes up and gets in your ear and starts whispering to you, you better learn how to talk to the devil. Don't let that, hey, that's one conversation you better not let be one-sided. You better learn to talk to the devil. You say, oh, you crazy. Okay, you go ahead and look at me all goofy. When he's whooping your tail and got you down in the mullet grub and got you so depressed you don't want to live, and got you not wanting to serve God because you failed Him, and He's got you convinced that you are a failure because you failed Him, you better learn how to talk to Him. Amen. And say, you listen here, big boy. There is therefore now no condemnation. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. Listen, He forgave you. He set you free. There's therefore now, right now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, when you get to heaven, thank God, and I'm going to enjoy this. We're going to get a glorified body. Praise God. I can't wait for that, Cricket. Whew, this one's wearing out quick. I'll be able to see without these things. And thank God for a glorified body, and thank God for heaven and streets of gold and all that's going to be there. But I'll tell you what you ain't going to gain when you get to heaven. Condemnation won't be lifted when you walk in through the pearly gates, because it was lifted the day, the very moment you said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. It was lifted. And you'll never face your sin again. Never. 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 And that is why I thank God I'm free. There's therefore now. And I love where it's found at. Listen, I said all that, and I'm running out of time, and y'all got to listen faster, because I'm preaching fast as I can. And y'all are slowing me down. Listen, listen, listen. There's therefore now no condemnation. Ain't that what your Bible says? If you got a King James Bible, that's what it better say. If you got one of them funny Bibles, hey, there's plenty of trash cans around here. We'll help you burn it and get you a real Bible.
Amen.
Why would you settle with a perverted book?
Yeah.
Less than. You can have a perfect one.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to who?
To them who are in the church.
Negative. To them who are in the baptistry and got dunked wet and come up wet. Went down a wet sinner and come up a wet sinner. Nope. To them that are in the tithing group. Nope, that ain't what your Bible said. To them that are in the good group and the moral group. Nope, that ain't what that Bible says. To them, there is therefore now no condemnation. To who? To them that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you have no condemnation.
Praise the Lord.
None. Don't let the devil, by the way, don't let the brethren pull you down either. By the way, the next time the brethren and Sister Wigglejaw and the rest of that crowd and these little cliques and groups that wants to talk and gossip who are more wicked than the devil, they're identifying whose side they're really on. You may tell you who gossips and backbites and gripes and moans and groans and complains. You may tell you who does that? It ain't God's people. The devil is a deceiver. The devil is that split tongue, lying, deceiving, backstabbing, accusing of the bread. That's who they're acting like. And you should have no part in it. By the way, any person who will give their ear to a gossiping tongue is just as wicked as the tongue that's flapping. My point in saying that is, listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If Jesus freed you, if Jesus removed the condemnation, then who cares what they think?
Amen.
I lived through this. Brother Cliff, I backslid so low. I felt so dirty and dark to even walk into the church. I mean that. About everybody knows my testimony, and it was so hard. I mean, the devil's doing everything in his power to say, you better not walk in there. Do you know what they know about you? Everybody in that church knows where you've been and what you've been doing. They all know how bad you've been, and they all know, and I mean it was so, and there was some people who jumped on the devil's bandwagon and talked with him and talked like him and made it that much harder for a Christian trying to get back. To get back. You ain't helping anybody that's down by kicking them. You ain't helping anybody that's down and holding on by a thread by laying your tongue on them. Oh, if you got the time, honey, I got the scripture to tell you what the Bible says. Hey, you better take heed lest ye fall. That's what the Bible says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I said this morning, but it's worth repeating. Why am I up here sweating? And by the way, I did take my jacket off before I even started preaching because I walked in my closet running late and grabbed what I thought to be a tan jacket. Summertime tan jacket, and I got here and it's a wintertime camel hair jacket, and so the camel hair come off. Like that or not, I'm not preaching in that tonight. I'm already going to throat punch Adam when I get to heaven by having to work by the sweat of my brow for that curse. I said this morning, a minute, and it's worth repeating. For 14 years, time I was born, and for 14 years I lived under the condemnation of God as a sinner.
until that glorious day, September the 21st, 1991. If you go out of this parking lot and head down to the second red light and make a right and go down, turn right on Dogwood Drive and go around the bend, go down to where the old house is at. Right there, I could take you to the spot on the concrete where Jesus lifted the condemnation and set me free. I can never forget it. I never shall forget it. Say, why are you up there sweating and spitting and screaming and hollering? Because there's therefore now no condemnation. By the way, I don't care how dignified you are. Some of you look like monks. You need to be in a monastery. I don't care how dignified you are. If this truth ever dawns on you and gets down in your heart, amen, of what God did for you in the Lord, amen, Jesus Christ with your sin and removing your condemnation and setting you free, you'll lose your dignity. Amen. Jesus said in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. If you don't believe, you're already condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. There it is already. I mean, what I've been preaching ain't just my opinion. Already the condemnation. If you're lost, already the condemnation of God abides on you. Already, I just read it to you, already the wrath of God abides on you. That's how I know I'm free. Because when the wrath of a thrice holy God, the sovereign God of the universe, when His wrath is lifted, when His condemnation is lifted, you know it. And there's nothing more freeing and more liberating than for God to forgive you and free you and remove His wrath and His condemnation. Paul said the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're not saved, you're not waiting to be condemned, you're already condemned. You're not waiting on God's wrath, but God's wrath already abides on you. Listen. It's like a man sitting on death row. I know you're tired. I know you worked so hard today, and you didn't get all your nap in. But give me just about 5 more minutes, or 10. This condemnation thing, it's like people think, well, I'm going to be condemned by God one day. No. You're missing it. You're already condemned if you're lost. It's like a man on death row. It's not waiting to be condemned, but he sits already in a cell under condemnation. He's already been condemned. The deed's already been done. The crime's already been committed. And he's already stood before a judge, and he sits there on death row waiting to die condemned. The judge has already said he was guilty. He's just sitting in the cell waiting for the day when the judge sends a jailer to open his cell and bind him and take him to the electric chair, and they take his life and send him out into eternity. And that's exactly what a sinner is who is lost without God. You're already condemned, and one day God will send him, and he will bind you. The Bible says he will bind you hand and foot and cast you into outer darkness. You're already condemned if you're lost. Why? Who in their right mind? I mean this. Who in their right mind, sitting on death row knowing they would stare in the electric chair at any time, and here comes a judge and says, listen, I'm going to make this deal for you.
And all you got to do is receive it. But I'm going to pardon you. I'm going to pardon you. And I'm going to remove the condemnation. I'm going to remove the guilt. The sin was committed. The crime was done. But I have the authority as a judge to pardon you and to remove the guilt and remove the condemnation. All you have to do is freely accept it. Don't you know, if as a judge walked down, up and down death row, said, "Who wants to be pardoned today? Would you like to be pardoned? Would you like to be pardoned? All you have to do is receive this. Would you like this pardon?" Don't you know they would line up and beat the cells and beg. "I'll take it. I want the pardon. Give me the pardon. I'll take the pardon. I know I killed him. I know I committed the crime. I know I'm guilty. But if you're such a good judge that would pardon me, I will receive it."
Yeah.
Who in their right mind wouldn't do that?
That's good preaching.
And I'm telling you, it's as simple as that. The God of heaven, I mean the judge of all judges, is walking up and down the row of life, the death row of life, that you're already standing under condemnation. And he's saying, "You are guilty. You committed the crime and you're headed for hell and you're headed for judgment. But I will pardon you." And not just pardon. Isaiah said, "I will abundantly pardon you." Why wouldn't you receive the pardon? Get out from under your condemnation and trust Christ while you can. So when is that going to happen? When are they going to be judged, and when are they going to receive their sentence? I'll tell you exactly when. Those who reject, listen to me. These people in this service, people who heard me preach this morning, people who were so concerned about their soul that they raised their hand. In public, people who said, "I'm concerned about my soul enough that I will lift my hand and say, 'Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved.'" Can I say, "Hey, God bless you. I'm not even asking for permission for you to give me a minute. You listen to me. This is heaven or hell. This is eternal business here. I mean, I want you quiet. I want you to listen to me." If you're in here and you raise your hand, or if you're in here and you didn't raise your hand and your heart's beating out of your chest and you know that you ain't saved, let me tell you what God says is going. This is exactly how this is going to go down for you.
Yeah.
This ain't what the preacher said. This ain't my opinion. Let me tell you exactly how this is going to go down for you. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And if you don't do business with God now, God will do business with you then. So, but I don't want people to know. Would you rather this little church and this little congregation of people know that you're condemned? We will rejoice and shout if you come and get out from under the condemnation. We'll rejoice and praise the Lord and welcome you with and embrace you if you get out from under the condemnation and the wrath of God. But if you wait, it won't just be this congregation of people. It will be the whole world. You'll stand in front of God and everybody, the dead, small and great, and there'll be, untold billions there watching you being judged out of the books of every work, every deed you ever done. When you could do it in private right now before God and let it all be put under the blood of His Son.
Amen.
And I say this and my time is gone. But you deal with it now or you will deal with it later. And if God's dealing with you, This may be the most important statement I've made all night, and it's the last I'll make. If God's dealing with you enough to get to nudge your heart and whisper and woo you and draw you, because Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father except to be drawn. You can't get saved when you want to. You say, but I'm going to later. The road to hell is paved with procrastination. The road to hell is hell is full of people who said, I will. I'm going to just a little longer. Who was it? Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why stay under the condemnation when Jesus did everything he could do? He loved you so much, he loved you literally to death. Shed his blood so that he could remove the wrath and pay for your sin. And I plead with you in Jesus' name, if you lost, quit playing games with God. Quit waiting for a more convenient season. The Bible still says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're saved, you ought to thank God. You don't live under condemnation anymore. I praise the Lord. I live in God's favor. I live in God's forgiveness. I live in God's freedom and His faith. I'm in God's family. I live in the love of God, the grace and mercy of God, the goodness of God. And so can you. As we stand all over the building, let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I wonder this evening. Only you know, but you know whether you have religion. Do you know Him? Do you know Him like you know your husband? Do you have a relationship with Christ like you have with your wife or your child? Or is it something that you just know about? Like I know who Donald Trump is, but I don't know him. I know many facts about him, but I have no relationship with him. And many people sitting in Baptist churches know a lot of facts about Jesus, but they don't know him, and they've never, ever been born again and had their sins forgiven. I want you to get serious with God, and I want to ask you, with every fiber of being within me, why not tonight get out from under the condemnation of God? No one's looking. People, the altars are filling. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the whole wide world. But who would be honest? How many would be honest? This morning, 7 hands went up. How many of you would be honest and say, preacher, if I was to die today on my way home, if I was to get hit by a truck, have a terrible accident, or my heart quit beating, I'm not 100% sure I'd die and go to heaven. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven, but I want to. I want the sin account settled. I want the wrath of God off of me. I want the condemnation of God off of me. The judge has walked up your aisle this evening. He's saying, I will pardon you. If you'll just reach out and receive me, I'll pardon you. I'll forgive you. I'll set you free. If that's you tonight, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I want to know that I know when I die, I'm headed for heaven. In Jesus' name, slip your hand up while these are praying. Pray for me. Don't come to me, don't embarrass me, but pray for me. Bless you, I see that hand. God bless you, I see that hand. Oh, don't leave this service. I know how, listen, I did it.
I squirm my way through many services, saying, if I can just get out of here, this will go away. I wouldn't gamble with my soul. Let God set you free tonight. Let Jesus set you free. Last call. I'm going to look across this auditorium. Last call. Before I pray, lift that hand and let me see it. In Jesus' name. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, Lord, as humbly as I know how, Lord. Lord, God, I feel like I made a mess and scattered the message all up tonight, Lord. But I pray you'd take my stumbling words, Lord, and speak to hearts, Lord, tonight. I plead with you in Jesus' name. Oh, God, don't let nobody die and go to hell because of my failures. Lord, I pray you'd be faithful. God, I pray you would woo the hearts of men. I pray you, the Holy Ghost, would convict sinners of their need of a Savior. God, that they wouldn't gamble with their soul, Lord. They wouldn't trust some flimsy prayer they prayed years ago that never changed them. Oh, God, help them to see, Lord, if it didn't change them here, they shouldn't trust it to get them to heaven. Lord, you said old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God, I remember the day you changed me. Lord, you saved me. You forgave me. You took my condemnation, Lord, and you set me free. Made me a new creature. I pray you'd do that for these. Lord, for those that are saved, may we rejoice in the truth, God, that we've been saved and God and set free. Sure is good to be saved. Lord, thank you for being such a good, good Father. What manner of love had the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? I bless your name, Lord. I love you. I thank you. I pray your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can look this way.